Good evening, Calvary. How many of y'all are tired? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Or I guess Wilkes County, I'd be tarred. How many of y'all are tarred? I'm plumb tarred. I did not mean to lie to Brother Chris. He texted me, or we were texting back and forth. He had been planning to preach. Brother Kenny was preaching Sunday morning and Sunday night. Brother Chris is preaching tonight. We're on vacation, if y'all didn't know. We've been on vacation since last Friday. And probably spent, about 150 hours around the church in the past week. But that's all right. God knows what he's doing. I don't apologize for anything. But I almost lied to Chris. I went home after the funeral and the meal and everything today that we had for the family. And I sat down on the couch, and I thought that was the end of it, okay? And just being honest with you, I thought that was the end of it. Brother Chris texting back and forth, you opening this, you doing that, and all this. And I said, I'm not even coming. He said, where am I going to tell them you're at? Are you ministering to the family? I said, tell them I've died. Tell them I've gone on vacation. Tell them anything you want to tell them, because it really don't matter to me what you tell them. What else was it? That what? Tell them what? You got another story. The only time you will believe Chris tonight is whenever he says, open the Bible. And then when he actually starts preaching, other than that, don't believe a word he says. I've been out of sorts. I owe Catherine and Brian an apology and the whole family. They were supposed to have a baby dedication on Sunday. That did not happen, as you well know. I didn't even come over here on Sunday because Miss Jeanette wanted Miss Cindy and myself with her. And, you know, sometimes you prioritize, you do what you got to do. Brother Kenny was already scheduled to preach. And the service was, evening service started at 6, and we weren't going to get done with everything to be back over here by 6, so we just called off Sunday evening. The reason we're here is because there was enough time span between the meal and everything to get us here at 7:30. But anyway, that's all, it's all fine. God knows what he's doing. Matthew Higgins preached a message. Somehow it all just fits. And it does. It just kind of fits. I don't know how it does, but it does. Some have asked how come Calvary didn't send flowers. I didn't see any potted plants or potted petunias that said Calvary on. This was what Calvary did, okay? This was the two sprays on either end of the casket that we sent on behalf of the family. We did the same thing for Miss Betty. We did the same for Brother Feldman. But these flowers here are the two sprays that Calvary provided for those that would like to know what kind of flowers we provided. They didn't have little note cards stuck in them, but these sprays are roses were from Calvary to the Cheek family, and they've been left here. They had a host of other flowers to take with them, but anyway, you continue praying for Miss Jeanette. She was down here last night for the receiving. She's just interjecting herself back into the church slowly, so y'all pray for Miss Jeanette. Continue praying for Big Jim Sparks over at room 603 at Westwood Hills, and do pray for the Cheek family. That, and I say Cheek, that's for Karen and Grant Southern. They're all that family. You know what I'm talking about. All right, you listening? Everybody listening, say amen. I don't want you to get this one confused. Brother Kenny Anderson is going to be here in this pulpit Sunday. If you cannot come to the picnic and you want to come here. There will be the Word of God preached with boldness, with urgency, and it'll be preached straight right from here. I'm preaching at Fort Hamby Park, not Julian Price Park. If you go to Julian Price Park, you're going to the wrong place. Say Fort Hamby Park. Okay, you won't go to Julian Price Park, right? There's a mud hole up there at Julian Price that I've watered out for the last 8 years. It's not going to be occupied this year. Brother Justin Shore has rented us or booked it through the Army Corps of Engineers, and we have got the amphitheater, all the shelters, the picnic shelters, and all the picnic tables and everything at Fort Hamby Park. Now, who doesn't know where Fort Hamby Park is at? For the hands going up, if you'll go up 268 past Dodge City, James, I've seen you up there eating ribs. You like... 421, what they said, not what I said. What did I say? Yeah, go to the 268 and catch a kayak. Catch a ferry from there over to Fort Hamby Park. Go up 421 and take a left on South Recreation Road. When you go down, you'll know you're going to the lake. Look for the entrance to Fort Hamby. If you take the first one before you get to Fort Hamby, you'll be at Smithy Creek, and then you can take your kayak over to Fort Hamby. So anyway, that preaching also will be at 11. We're going to eat about 12 up there, 12 or 12:15. So depending on how quick Brother Kenny preaches, you're not going to have a full choir. You won't have all the stuff going on here. It's conceivable that some of you could get out of here as long as he don't preach over an hour and a half and still get up there in time to get you a hamburger and hot dog. Brother Danny had originally bought 150 hamburgers and 150 hot dogs. He went and bought an additional 50 of each. So herein lies another thing. Brother Danny needs somebody to help him. So if you're willing to help Brother Danny, Will, I don't know if you can cook or not. If you can, volunteer. If you can't, don't. There's others. Gerald, I don't know if you can cook a lick. If you can volunteer, do it. If you can't, then don't. But Danny needs some help. Danny, where you at? Do you need tables and chairs or tables from down here? Listen to Danny.
Good evening. It's good to be in the Lord's house tonight. That's a good message. I enjoyed that. I knew you had to get that off your chest or you would have blew. But it's good to be in the Lord's house. Y'all pray for me tonight. And I know it's been a rough week. I know we're all tired and weary and we need some rest. But be in prayer for the service tonight. Pray that God will do something, speak to your heart. And, I mean, he preached a good message. I mean, he preached Brian Cardwell. I was sitting beside Miss Vicky, and before he even got up there, I jotted down some notes and jotted down some things, and I thought it would be, the only thing I had was that thing. And I wrote down a message God gave me before Brian Cardwell even opened up, before he even preached. And he preached the same thing God gave me along those same lines. And then the pastor opened up with that scripture, and I showed BJ. BJ, what was it? The same scriptures that we'll be in tonight. And I'm glad God works everything out. God knows what He's doing. And, God's in charge, and He does all things well. And we might not understand all the other questions, the what and the hows, but as long as we know the who, that's all that matters. And I'm glad I know who it is, and it's Him, the great I Am. And I'm glad I can trust Him. And, I forgot the name of that park.
Julian Price.
No, not Julian Price. But what park are we going to Sunday? Fort Hamby. Okay, Fort Hamby. And we'll be up there. If y'all see a Mercedes just going around in a circle, y'all wave me down. And y'all, we ain't charging no van rides or nothing over there. But I think Jody, where's Jody? There he is. He said he was going to do his kayak rentals or anything. So you go with him. And he said he's going to try to make some money off them. And he was looking for somebody to grill. Brianna, I saw you grill hamburgers the other day. And if you want to find out, just ask her what happened when she was trying to cook some hamburgers, but that's a long story. But it's good to be in the Lord's house tonight. It's good to be saved. And I'm glad God does all things well. And we might not understand what He's doing, but I'm glad He does all things well. And the pastor, he preached an excellent message. And he was asking, where is the God of Elijah? Where is the God of Elijah? And he answered the question. He's where He's always been. He's on the throne. He still has all power in heaven and earth. And this earth is His footstool. And He's not relinquished any power to Satan. He has every power. He's still in control. And everything's running right on schedule. Everything's running right on time. And He's not worried. He's not up there wringing His hands, worrying, what am I going to do? And this is falling apart. And this is going here. And He's calm. He's collective. He knows exactly what He's doing. But He asked one question. He gave you an answer. And this will go along right with my message. I'm going to ask you another question. Where is the Elijahs of God? Where is the Elijahs of God? We said, where is the God of Elijah? Even Elisha, he picked up that mantle and said, where is the God of Elijah? And he smote the waters, and the waters passed hither and thither, and they walked across. And he did the same miracle. The last miracle that Elijah did, Elisha, that was his first. He picked up exactly where Elijah left off, and he kept on going. I'm going to ask you a question tonight. Where is the Elijahs of God? Where are they at? I find, Brother Key, they're very few in between. I mean, they're hard to come by. I think about, Larry Key or Mark Hall or Feldman Cheek and all those. Those are heroes that I look up to. Those are people that, they took the bloodstained banner and they went on, they preached for the glory of God, and God used them in a mighty way. And I guess you could call them my spiritual Pauls, my Feldman Cheeks, or, I'm a Timothy and they're a Paul to me, and I'm looking up to them men. Why? Because they've been in it a lot longer than I have. But you know what? I guess you could say they're an Elijah, and hopefully I'm an Elisha. Why? Because I'm right behind them. I got their coattail. Whenever they lay down the banner, I want to pick it on up and go on for the glory of God. It's not that I'm anything, but He's everything. You know, where is the Elijahs of God? They're very few. Can God use you? Would you let God use you? Do you want to be an Elijah? Well, preacher, are you just preaching to the men? No. I'm glad God can use some ladies too.
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to be a Hannah? Are you going to be a Mary, a handmaiden of the Lord? Hannah, God shut up her womb. I'll get on with the message, but I'll just share this. God shut up a room, and she was just so sore. She was upset, and she prayed. The high priest, I can't even think of his name, Eli, went over there and saw her mouth moving. She said, she said, no, I'm not drunk. Just pouring my heart out before God. And God heard her prayer. God gave her a child. And you know what she did? She gave it back unto the Lord. Are you going to be like that? God can use women. God can use men. God can use the young, the old. No matter what, God can use you. But you know what? You have to meet His conditions. You have to meet some things God's looking for. I know God can use whoever and whomever, and God can do anything. But you know what? You can find all these characteristic traits, all these things. You can trace back. You can find them in the life of David. You can find them in the life of Samson. You can find them in the life of Samuel. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. These things, they're evident in everybody's life. The things I'm preaching on, I see them in Brother Key's life. I see them in Brother Mark's life. I see them in some people's life. But you know what? There's some people I look at and I don't find anything in their life. If you've got a Bible, turn into 1 Kings chapter number 19. 1 Kings chapter number 19. When you find your place, will you please stand and we'll honor the reading of God's Word. 1 Kings 19. We'll begin to read in verse number 19. 1 Kings 19:19 says, "So he departed thence and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he went with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee.' And he said unto him, 'Go back again, for what have I done to thee?' And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled the flesh and gave the and boiled the flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him." I'm trying to figure, can y'all hear all right? I feel like I'm in a barrel. It's loud up here. But with God's help, I want to preach on the call of Elisha. The call of Elisha. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, God, we come to you once again. Lord, thank you for another day. Lord, thank you for letting us come to your house once again. God, I pray you just help me, Lord, settle my nerves. Lord, as I stand, Lord, no man stands alone. God, I pray you, Lord, give me that unction to preach tonight. God, I pray, Lord, I need a fresh anointing that comes from you. God, I pray, Lord, I can't do anything. Lord, if I stand, Lord, in the arm of the flesh, Lord, I fail. Lord, I need that calling. Lord, I need that touch, Lord, tonight. Lord, I pray you anoint my lips of flesh. Lord, I pray, Lord, my lips of clay. Lord, I pray, Lord, it say anything and be a hindrance to you. But God, I pray, Lord, I'll be a blessing, Lord, an encouragement to your people tonight. And God, I pray, Lord, just hide me behind the cross, Lord. I pray, Lord, fill me with your spirit, Lord. Lord, speak through me tonight. Lord, to your people, Lord, let us leave and say it's been a blessing to be at your house. And God, I pray, Lord, as you look for a man, Lord, to make up the gap. And Lord, stand in the hedge. Lord, I pray, Lord, you just help us, Lord. Let us be that man, Lord, that woman, Lord, you need us to be. Lord, I pray, Lord, you go walk out, Lord, and just looking for somebody that you can use. God, I pray, Lord, you just find somebody that you can use, Lord, in us, Lord, tonight. And God, I pray, Lord, if there's any that's lost, save them. If there's any that back sin, God, I pray, Lord, you chastise them and bring them back into the fold. And God, I pray, Lord, everything said and done, you get all honor, Lord, and glory. Lord, we must decrease, Lord, but you must increase in our life. And God, I thank you for what you've done. We give you praise for what you can do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Be seated tonight. As I began studying about Elisha and Elijah, and I guess you could say you can read throughout all Scripture about how it's been somebody coming up from behind him. I think about Ruth and Naomi and Orpha and all them, about how she was basically mentoring them. I think about Paul and Timothy. I think about Samuel and all them others, and you turn around, there's somebody following you. I don't care who you are. I think about Moses and Aaron and all those other people. There's somebody looking to you. There's somebody following you. And in this case, we have a man named Elijah, and then we have a man named Elisha who's following up behind him, and he's getting ready to take over. Whenever Elijah goes off the scene, Elisha steps in. He picks up the mantle. He fills in the shoes, and he goes on for the glory of God, and God uses him in a mighty way. God gives him twice the number of miracles that Elijah did perform. God had his hand upon Elijah, and the hand of God was upon Elisha. As soon as Elijah went off, Elisha marched on the scene. I tell you, there's a lot of mantles that's laying down by the wayside. There's a lot of mantles that are laying down that nobody's willing to pick those things up. Nobody's willing to take those and go on for the glory of God. I see all that. I mean, I go out, and God's been blessing me to go out to all these other churches, and there are very few men of God like Brother Feldman, and even deacons like Brother Wood, even Christians like that. You say, well, he was a deacon, and he should have that standard. And now, I believe he just loved the Lord. Let's just get plain and simple. I believe he loved the Lord a little bit more than the other people that's sitting on the pews beside of him. Why? Because he saw who the Lord is. He remembered what God's done. He remembered that God took a drunk that was nobody on his way to a devil's hell and touched him and called him out of that miry pit and set his foot upon a solid rock. Why? Because God, Woody remembered exactly who God was and what God did for him. Brother Feldman, I could say the same thing from him. I don't know where he got saved, but I know that by his testimony, he was a saved man. He took that bloodstained banner, he took that bloodstained book and marched on for the glory of God, and God had his hand upon him. God, I mean, you can see in the walls of these church about how God blessed and God protected this thing and God orchestrated it for him to pass it down to Brother Mark and for Mark to go on for the glory of God. But it's just amazing how you can see the hand of God orchestrated in the lives of these men. I mean, even the lives of Elijah and Elisha and the lives of like Pastor Mark and Brother Feldman. I'm glad that God is still able to do what he said he's going to do. God's looking for a man. And here we have Elisha and Elijah. If you look in verse number 19. It says, so he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. The first thing, if you're taking notes, notice what happened. He passed by and cast his mantle upon him. Here is Elijah walking by and found Elisha out there just working, minding his own business, doing what he always does. I don't know what time it was, but he was just out there minding his own business. Here comes a man of God. He just cast his mantle on him. He just keep on going. He didn't say anything, Brother Key. He just walked on. He said, man, something hit me. What was that? You know what? I believe that was a little bit of the power of God for touching him. I believe the power of God just, I mean, he said, whatever that is, I want more. He ran up to him. He said, I'm going with you. He said, what have I done today? Well, why? He said, let me go tell my mom and them, kiss them, and go back, and I'll come on. I'm following you. I said all that to say this. You know what happened? He received the call. Elijah didn't even have to say anything to Elisha. Why? Because God already told him he was going to come. And look back in verse number 16. It says, and Jehu the son of Nimshu shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphath of Abel-Mesholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in the room. You see, God already spoke. In verse number 15 it says, and the Lord said unto him, the Lord is talking to Elijah and said, Elijah, I want you to go down there and I want you to anoint these men. I want you to pick them out. There's a man named this and their man named named Elisha, and he's going to be right behind you. He's going to be there. He's going to be the prophet in thy room. He said, he's going to be right behind you. He walked by and cast his mantle upon Elisha. And you know what? Elisha was obedient to the word of God. Elisha was obedient to the will of God. And you can see how God had a plan for Elisha's life. It was his will that for Elisha to be used. Brother King, I believe it's God's will for us all to be used. It's God's will for us all to be saved. The Bible says he's not willing any should perish, but that all come to repentance. Bible talks about he's not long-suffering, but I'm glad for the call of salvation. Not only that, I'm glad for the call of service.
Amen.
I tell you, I'm glad that God saved me. I'm glad God called me to preach. My life verse, if I believe everybody has a life verse, I believe Miss Cindy's is Galatians 2:20, and the pastor's, and I know some others, but mine have to be 1 Timothy 1:12. I thank God through Christ Jesus who enabled me, became me faithful, putting me into the ministry.
Amen.
I thank God that he called me. I thank God that he placed his hand upon my life. I'm the least of the least, Brother Kenny. I'm nothing without him. I mean, I'm nothing without him, but I'm thankful that God can allow me to do a little part in something big for him.
Amen.
I tell you, just a small part. A lot of people, they're looking for something big or something little. They want a big part of something little. But you're not just thankful I got a little part in something so big.
Yeah.
I tell you, serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that God will look down from the portals of heaven, the balconies of heaven, and find somebody like me and said, you know what? He ain't nothing but a lump of clay. I can use him. I can clean him up. I can make him a vessel on. I can use him. I'm so thankful that I yielded my life, put it into his hand. I'm glad he's a master potter. Now we're the clay. I tell you, there ain't no clay that just jumped up on the potter's wheel. You know why? Because that potter had to go out in the field. He had to go out there and dig up that clay and bring it to his house. I'm glad that's exactly what God did to me. He came out there and found me. I wasn't nothing.
Amen.
And picked it up and said, you know what? Don't look like nothing, but I got a finished product in mind. See, I was listening to this, and they tell me that a master potter, before he ever gets out there and starts making something, you know what he does? He has a finished product in mind. He knows what he's going to make. He don't just go out there and just start forming, well, I'm going to make a plate, and I'm going to make a bowl, or I'm going to do this or that. He already knows what he's going to make before he even starts working on it. I'm glad God knows what He's going to make before He even starts molding us and making us. He's already got a finished product in mind. And you know what it is? It looks just like His Son. That's exactly what the finished product's going to look like. We're going to look just like Jesus. But you know what He's doing until then? He's taking everything out that don't look and act and do everything like Jesus. He's molding us and making us. He's causing us and He's heating us up and taking all that trash and everything out into our life. And He's keep molding us and molding us. And whenever it's all said and done, and we put on the immortality and we get over there and we have a glorified body, you know what's going to happen? We're going to look just like His Son. We're going to not be any sin or anything like that. God's going to make us perfect one day. But until then, we should be striving for that perfection. We should be striving for the prize. Why? Because God's worthy of all that. Elijah passed by and cast his mantle upon him. I'm thankful the Holy Ghost passed by one day. He arrested my heart, took me to Calvary.
Amen.
I made a decision. Am I going to follow Him or am I going to turn away? I'm thankful for the call of salvation. And also thankful for the call of service.
Amen.
That God would have something for me to do. Even if it's a little, even if it's just preach off the pew, I'm glad God allowed me to do something
Amen.
For Him.
Amen.
I tell you, what can you do for the Lord? Can God use you? He wants to. Will you allow Him? Would you let God use you? I tell you, it's the best thing you'll ever do in your life, besides get saved, is allow God, the Master Potter, to take and mold and make you and put you into service for Him. I tell you, He does all things well. I could tell you story after story. I'm not bragging myself, but just about how the mighty hand of God, you just don't understand. You're obedient to His will, and then something happens, and you sit back thinking, so God, that's exactly what happened. I mean, He's great at putting the puzzle together in our lives. Do you know, does that make sense? You look at the puzzle and you think, man, this piece is missing. I don't know that. And I don't know about you, but whenever I was little, I tried to put a puzzle together and I made the puzzle pieces fit. I mean, I might have to take a piece off here and cut this one, but I made the puzzle. I made it fit. But you know what? The picture wasn't pretty, but it fit together. You pick the whole thing up and it wouldn't fall apart. Why? Because I forced it in there. But you know what? I'm glad God, all His pieces fits right together. You know what? The picture is so beautiful. Why? Because He does all things well in our lives. See, I'm glad for the will of God in our life. Elisha found the will of God. He was submissive to the will of God. He was obedient to the will of God. And God used him in a mighty way. I tell you, are you submissive to the will of God? Are you submissive to the way of God? I tell you, we need to be. Why did God use Elisha? Why did God use him? God can call and use whoever, whenever, to do whatever for Him. Did you hear me? God can use whoever and whenever to do whatever for Him. God's God. He can do anything. He doesn't have to check with me or the pastor or Brother Key. He doesn't have to ask anybody. Why? Because He's God. He can do anything He wants. But you know what I find in looking and examining these different men and women of the Bible? That all these characteristic traits, all these things they have in their life, you find them one and the other. Look at Samuel, look at Samson, look at David, and look at Solomon, and look at Peter and Paul, and I mean all these other men. Timothy, you can find all these things I'm getting ready to preach on. You can find evident in their life. And you know what? I believe if we looked at Woody, if we look at Brother Key, if we looked at Pastor, or looked at Brother Feldman, all those things would still be in there. Preacher, what are they? If you're taking notes, jot these down. Let me share with you what God showed me on why God used Elisha. Number one, can I tell you, besides it was His will. God had a plan for Elisha's life. Number two, can I tell you, He was a worker. Elisha was a worker. Look at verse number 19. It says, so he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat. Who was what? Who was what? Plowing. He was busy working. I believe he was busy working in his father's field. Why? Because I believe he was young at this age. I don't know how old he was, but he said, let me go tell my mom and dad bye. He said, let me go tell them bye and I'll come after you. You know, he was busy plowing. I don't know whose field it was. I think it was his parents' field. I think it was his father's field. But regardless, he was out there busy. I tell you, God uses a worker. God uses somebody that wants to work. God uses people that wants to get out there and do things. I tell you, that's exactly what Elisha did. Elisha was out there plowing. He was busy. He was working. God will never use a lazy person. Did you know that? God will not ever use a lazy person. You tell me somebody in the Bible who God said, I'm going to use them. I'm going to take them off the couch. I'm going to take them off a pew and do nothing. I'm going to take them off of that. They're not doing anything. And I'm going to use them in a mighty way. I tell you, God don't operate like that. He never will operate like that. He never has and never will operate like that. God always took it. taken the man and the woman who's willing to do the little things. God always taken the man or the woman who's willing to get out there and get busy, to go out there in the highways and hedges and compel them that his house might be full. God's looking for those people to get out there and get off the seat of do nothing. Just get out there and just blaze a trail for God. Go out there and testify. Go out there and brag on God. And you say, well, preacher, I'm not much and I'm not either and you're not much, but you know what? Through God, we can amount to something. Why? Because God can take a nothing to make him somebody. Well, preacher, how do you know that? Because he did that for me. I'm a nobody, but you know what? I'm glad I met somebody. I'm glad I met the Lord Jesus Christ, and he made a difference in my life. Well, preacher, you're not much to look at. I'm not, but you know what? One day I will be. One day you'll look at me, and you'll look at the Savior, and you'll say, I can't tell them apart. Why? Because I'll have a body likened unto him, a mind that won't ever think an errant thought, one that won't be able to sin. Why? Because I'll have a glorified body. I tell you, we need to be looking forward to that day. I tell you, God, he's looking for somebody to work. He's looking for somebody to get out there and get busy. He's looking for somebody that he can use. I tell you, I believe Elisha, he was out there plowing. He was out there busy. He was out there sweating. He was out there working. He was out there toiling. He was out there in the father of his field of the Father. He's keeping busy. I tell you, God will never use a lazy person. Can I tell you what the Bible says? The Bible says the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. That's Matthew 9, verse 37 and 38. Did you know that's the only prayer request I find that Jesus gave in the Bible? He said, pray that the Lord would send forth laborers. I looked up that word laborers. You know what that word means? It's a worker, a man, a toiler, somebody who works. I tell you, Jesus said, pray that God would send forth workers. He says, pray that God would send forth laborers. Pray that God would call people that will have a mind to work. I believe Nehemiah said, so we be at the wall. Why? Because the people had a what? A mind to work. They had a mind to get together. They had a mind to accomplish something. They didn't just sit around and say, well, we're going to do this and we're going to do that and we're going to wait on God to do it. They said, no, God gave us a plan. God gave us a purpose. God gave us the ability to get it done, and we're going to get it done for the glory of God. And you know what? They did that. Why? Because they got up and they worked. I tell you, Elisha was a worker. I tell you what, God's looking for a man. So, well, preacher, what about us women? I tell you, when it comes to the call to preach, God's looking for a man. God will never use a woman. The Bible says in Ezekiel 22:30, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap. I tell you, God's looking for a man. I tell you, that's what God's looking for. He's looking for a man. I tell you, Elisha, he was a man. I believe we can read about that. He was a man's man. I mean, you think about him. He was out there plowing. I believe he was out there sweating. And how many, he holding them things, the oxen. And, I mean, he wasn't just holding one. I mean, you read what it says. It says plowing with 12 yoke oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. I mean, you think about how much of a man he had to be. I mean, just hold them things and just plow right by. I mean, get in behind them and plow those things. I believe that was some labor. I believe that was some sweat was going on. But you know what? He was willing to do those things. I believe he was out there. I believe he was sweating. I believe he rolled up his sleeves. I mean, he was willing to do the dirty things. He was willing to get in there and sweat and, I mean, just pour it in there. And he was willing to get dirty to do those things. Why? Because there's a job that had to be done. Somebody had to till that field. Somebody had to get out there and do it. He could have sat down and said, well, I'm going to let the servants, I'm going to let all the other men do that. And I'm just going to sit here and watch. He said, no, if they're doing, I want a part of that. I want to get in there. I want to get my hands dirty. Hey, God's looking for a man that's willing to do those things. God's looking for a man to get in there and get their hands dirty. God's looking for a man to get in there and do what nobody else wants to do. Why? Because God's looking for somebody that will do something. What can you do for him? What will you do for him? What have you done for him? God's looking for a man or a woman that he can use. I tell you, God's looking for a man when it comes to the call to preach. God's not looking for a wimp, and God's not looking for a woman. God's looking for a man to roll his sleeves up, get in there, be willing to sweat and get dirty, and go on for the glory of God. Can God use you? Will you let him? God's looking for a worker. Not only that, can I tell you what else? God used Elisha. Why? Because he was willing. He was willing. Look at verse number 21. The Bible says, and he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled the flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. I tell you, he was willing. Preacher, willing to what? Willing to do anything. I tell you, he went there and talked to Elijah. He came back. You know what Elisha did? He killed the cow. And he broke the plow. He burned it and used that to boil the flesh. And he ate. And then he said, all right, well, we're off. I'm following you wherever you go. I tell you, he was willing to let go of the cares of this life. He was willing to let go of all his comfort. He was willing to let go of everything that he's ever known. I don't know much about plowing, but you know, he was willing to let go of what his hand was in. That plow, I mean, he was holding on to that plow. He was holding on to those oxen. And you know what he said? I'm willing to let go of that. Take my hand off of that and allow God to place my hand in something more. I believe Jesus said, no man taking hold of the plow looking back is fit. Can I tell you, God's looking for a man that's not willing to look. He's willing for a man to look forward to Him. The Bible says in Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I tell you, what are we looking for? Are we looking to each other? Are we looking to Jesus? Let's get our eyes off of each other and get them upon Him. Are we willing? Are you willing for God to use you? I believe Brother Brian Cardwell or Brother Larry Stone, I believe, was it Brother Larry, whatever, the other preacher's name, Brother Stone. He said, but are you willing to pay the price? I believe he was quoting what Brother Feldman said, pay the price. I tell you, if you're willing to walk with God, you'll have to be willing to pay the price. I believe Jesus said this kind only comes forth by prayer and fasting. The disciples said, we try to cast out the demons and we tried, we just couldn't do it. Jesus said, this kind only comes forth by prayer and fasting. I say, if you want the power of God, if you want the hand of God, if you want the presence of God, if you want the peace of God, if you want any of those things that only comes from God, you have to be willing to pay the price. Well, preacher, what is it? I tell you, some sleepless nights. It's going out there just on your face before God, just crying out, getting away from your family, getting away from the church people. I mean, just finding out, I mean, you hear about them preachers, them old men of God, just finding an old oak tree and getting out there just crying out for God and begging for God to use them. And I tell you, there are very few people that get along with God and just pour their hearts out. There are very few men of God that's just crawling up there somewhere saying, God, would you just, Lord, give me the power I need? God, would you just give me an open door? God, if you can use me, would you take my life and mend it, mold it? Lord, just make me what you need to be. And God, would you just accomplish something in me? Lord, if you could get glory out of my life, would you do it? Lord, it's not about me. It's all about you. I believe that's, look at John the Baptist, Brother Kenny. John the Baptist, he said, Lord, I must decrease, but you must increase. I never find John the Baptist ever getting in the spotlight. So many times I find it. I see it. We talk to the pastor and Brother Kenny, and God starts putting his hand upon a man of God, and he's going out there, and God's blessing, and God's saving souls, and God's using them in a mighty way. And soon the shift becomes off of God, and what God's done to the man and his ministry and his focus on what he accomplished. And I mean, you see all these things and they start to be in the spotlight and they start to get the fame and the fortune and all this other things. And it shouldn't ever be about us. It should all be about Him. And we should be like the moon. We should reflect the sun. It shouldn't even cross our thought about what we need and what we can get and how we can benefit from preaching the gospel. It's never been about that, Brother Key. It should always be about seeing souls saved and for the cause of Christ. I tell you, we must be willing. Church, are you willing to let go of whatever you're holding on to? I tell you, it could be friends. It could be family. That's what Elisha did, ain't it, Brother Key? He said, let me go kiss my mom and tell my mom and dad behind, then I'll be on with you. I tell you, serving God, the cost might be you might lose your family. You might lose your friends. You might lose your fortune. You might lose anything. Why? Because I don't know what you're holding on to. I don't know what your plow is. I tell you, we all have a plow. We all have something we're holding on to. I'd serve God but this. I'll serve God but my family. I'll serve God but this, popularity or whatever it might be. I don't know what your plow is, but you know what? I had one. I'm willing to let go of that plow. Elisha took it a step farther. You know what Elisha said, I'm not just going to let go of that thing. Brother Kenny, what he did? He said, I'm going to bust that thing up. I'm going to burn it. He said, I'm going to get rid of that thing. Why? Because there's no turning back. I tell you, if you're going to serve God, there's no turning back when it comes to God. See, I believe, Brother Key, you would rather God just go ahead and take you out than for you to turn back and go back to the world. I mean, you think about being a stumbling block to the brethren. I mean, doing all those things. You'd rather God just take you on out before you ever mess up your life, mess up the ministry that God has for you. And I would too. Why? Because God's done so much for us. For us to be a stumbling block. For us to go out there and do those things and people just start doing... I mean, why? Because God's been so good to us. What's your plow? I can tell you what my plow is. I don't want to tell you what my plow is. We all have one if we're honest with ourselves. Are you willing to let go what's in your hand? Allow God to put something else in your hand. I tell you, you're willing to pay the price. When you think about Brother Feldman, I mean, he preached in the power of God. I mean, I've only heard him preach one time, but from his testimony and other people talk, that was somebody everybody looked up to. I mean, I believe he could walk in the room and just like Moses, his face would just shine. Why? Because he paid the price. He's willing to get along with God. He was willing to pray. He did those things that God commands us to do. Why? Because God honors His Word. God honors those things. God honors sacrifice. Did you know that? I honestly believe, Brother Keith, God honors those sacrifices. God sees what we do. God sees what we do in secret. And He'll reward you openly. I tell you, what are we doing for God? What are we doing behind the scenes? You can include in prayer. Even Jesus was talked about in there. You go in there and shut the door and pray. My Father will reward you openly. See, what we need to do is get along with God, pray, seek His face, and just get hungry for God. The Bible says, Matthew 5, 6, talking about, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. I tell you, you're going to be full of the world or you're going to be full of God, one or the other. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, 18, be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You'll never be filled until you first get hungry. I tell you, we need to get hungry for God, and then we'll be filled of God. So many times we're too hungry after other things that we can't get full of God. I tell you, you're never going to eat unless you first get hungry. See, whenever you get hungry, what do? You eat. I tell you, if you get hungry for God, you know what you're going to do? You're going to get filled full of God. Why? Because that's what you're longing for. I tell you, what are you hungry for tonight? Are you hungry for more friends? Are you hungry to have a closer family? There's nothing wrong with a close family. I believe I'm probably, God's blessed me with one of the closest knitted families that a man could have. I love my family, but you know what? God comes first. I love what God's doing in my life, but you know what? God comes first. I say God should be the centerpiece of everything about us. Every aspect, every area, every avenue, everything about us, God should be the number one thing. You know, God will honor everything else if you let Him be number one. God won't sit in the second seat. God won't be passenger. He'll either be God of all, of God or none. Who's sitting in your driver's seat tonight? Is God occupying that seat? Well, I gave God everything but this. Well, then God don't have everything. I gave God all, but. I tell you, why don't you just give God that but? Why don't you just give God that one last thing? You know what? God will take your life. Can I tell you, the blessing will be more than the burden that you're carrying right now. Preacher, how do you know? Because I can tell you story after story after story about how I thought, well, you know, I'm just gonna trust God, throw your hands up, and you know what, Brother Key? God turns around, and the reward from that, God says, you know what? I'll just open up the windows of heaven. I'll pour you out a blessing. There won't be enough room to receive it. I mean, you just turn around. God's blessing here and blessing there and this and that. And I mean, you'd have to agree with me. There's nothing like serving God. There's nothing like serving God. Brother Kenny, I believe year and time have you spent laboring in the Word of God, serving God. No, there's nothing like it in this world, being a servant to the Lord. I tell you, you think about Elisha and Elijah. He had a will. He was in God's will. God said, I'm going to use that man, go down and anoint him. And you know what? He was obedient to the will. He was a worker. He was willing. He was willing to let go of the cows. He was willing to burn the plows. And God took him. I tell you, he was just all in when he came to God. He said, you know what, God, I'm going to give you everything. He said, I'm not turning back to my family. I already said goodbye to them. I'm not going to go back to them cows. I'm not going to go back to them plows. I'm not going to go back to the field. I'm not going to go back to my friends, my family. God, they're all gone. I'm going after you. And Elisha turned his back on all those things and said, I'm going with God and I'm going with God's man. And he never did come back. I tell you, you're willing to go with God, you might be willing to pay the price. Two more things and I'm done. I tell you, Elisha followed after Elijah. But you know what Elisha was willing to do? Elisha was willing to wait. Elisha was willing to wait. He didn't go out there and say, all right, God, I'm ready to walk out here. I done said goodbye to this and I said goodbye to that. And Lord, I'm ready. I'm now to be offered. Lord, the time is now. You see, God had to take him through the molding process. God had to take him out there and teach him some things. You think about Peter. I know we just studied Peter in our Sunday school and all that. Peter thought he was willing to be used. He said, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to die. Lord, I'm ready to be offered up. We're willing to go with you and die. He said, get behind me, Satan. He said, you're not willing. But you know what? Whenever Peter thought he was willing, whenever Peter thought he was ready, God said, nah, he's not ready yet. But you know what? You read at the end of John 20, John 21, you find Peter out there. He said, I go a fish. And the other disciples said, well, we'll go with you. They're sitting out there. Peter was naked. He girded his fisherman coat. He said, we toiled all night. Never caught nothing. You know why they didn't catch anything? Peter is no longer a fisherman. He threw it all in. God called him out of that. He's no longer a fisherman of men. He's a fisherman. He's no longer a fisherman of fish. He's a fisherman of men. That's what the Holy Ghost showed me the other day. I was mowing it. I was thinking on some scripture. It mentioned that, you know, he tore the whole night, caught nothing. Jesus is walking out there and said, children, have you any meat? Peter said, we ain't got nothing. Holy Ghost said, you know why he didn't catch anything? He was no longer a fisherman. He didn't go back. He tried to go back, but he wasn't successful at it. I tell you, if we ever turn our back and go back to the world, we ain't going to have any favor in that. We're not going to have success in that. Why? Because God called us out of that. I tell you, I'm glad God called us out of the world. The Bible says, come out from among you and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing. And I'll, have you turned your back on the world? Have you went with God? They went out there and they toiled the whole night. They didn't catch nothing. Jesus came out and cast your net on the other side. They pulled it up and that boat went over. They had to have someone to come in there and help. And at that time, you know what? Peter got back there and got back to the sea and had to go back to the fire. And you think about Peter sitting around with Jesus there in the mint. That's whenever Jesus asked him, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? He said, yea, Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? He asked him three times, and then it came back to Peter's mind what Peter did. He denied the Lord three times of the cock crew. But you know what happened? Each one of those, no doubt Peter thought, I wasted my life. Jesus is back and this is him. I'm talking to him. He's questioning my love. He's questioning my devotion. At one point in my life, I was willing to go and die with him. At one point in my life, I was willing to risk it all, lose it all for the cause of Christ. But now, I denied I knew the Lord three times. I cursed. I said, I know not the man. I can't be used. I'm a has-been. I'm discarded. God can't use me. You know what? God said, he's usable now. You see, when Peter thought he could be used, he couldn't. But whenever Peter said, I can't be used, I've done so much. My life is scarred up. I denied the Lord three times. I cursed. I walked away. It's over. God said, that's exactly where I want you. I can use you. I tell you, has God ever brought you to the bottom? I tell you, whenever God takes you to the bottom, better look out. He'll be taking you to the top pretty soon. But yet so many times we try to build our life up, Brother Key. We try to make it look good. We try to build ourselves up. But you know, if we build ourselves up, the Lord will take you down. But you know what? If you humble yourselves, you know what the Bible says? The Lord will exalt you in due time. I'd rather me make myself low for him to take me high than for me to make myself high and for him to take me low. Does that make sense? Let's just humble ourselves before God and allow him to lift us up in due time. If we wait on the Lord does all things well. And lastly, he's willing to walk. Look at the end of verse number 21. It says, they arose, and then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. He left. He started walking. He's willing to go. Church, are you willing to go? Are you willing to go to be used of God? I mean, you just think about Brother Woody passing away. The mantle that he had, the prayer warrior that he was. I mean, just the witness and the testimony that he had. Somebody's going to have to take that up. Somebody's going to have to pick that mantle up and walk on. You think about Brother Feldman. I mean, I think about that flag they had up there, that Christian flag. I mean, that was a blessing. I looked over at Brother Vicky and said, I love that. Or Sister Vicky, I said, I love that flag. I mean, you think about that. He gave his life for the cause of Christ. I mean, he was willing to put everything he had. I mean, ever just go on for the glory of God. I tell you, that banner, that mantle, it's laying by the wayside. I tell you, I believe one of the other men down there at the grace side, they mentioned Bobby Robertson. I mean, another hero of the faith. I mean, the list could go on and on. Maze Jackson and Billy Kelly and Harold B. Seitler. And I mean, you just go on. Pick you one out. There's several out there good. Who's going to fill those shoes? Who's going to pick up the mantle and go on for the glory of God? I tell you, somebody will. Who will it be? I tell you, get the modern day churches. They're going from temporary. They're losing out all the old ways. I'm glad the Bible talks about search out them old paths and walk therein. I tell you, this world, they're looking for something new. I tell you, let's just get back to the old paths. Let's walk in that way. Let's seek after God. And God will reward you. God will use you if you allow Him. So we stand all over the house. Miss Macy, Brother Scott, would you come get a song?